Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, in January of 1993, chapter 3, he said there's a time for everything, you know. But this wasn't the time for that. This was the time for joy. This was New Year's Day. It was the time for the blowing of the trumpets. It was a holy day and one in which they were to rejoice. And in about 9 more days, on the 10th of the 7th month, as we've already said, there would come the Day of Atonement. And that was a day of grief and mourning, but not on this first day. And so there was an exhortation from Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levites to cease from their mourning and their weeping. Well, in verses 10 and 11, we're talking about rejoicing in the Lord. There's an encouragement from the leaders. After the exhortation, there came an encouragement. Look at verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And so these folks that say to be holy, you have to have a long face, you have to be sad, you have to at least look sad. They don't know what they're talking about. Remember, twice he's mentioned this is a holy day, and all in the midst of saying you don't mourn, you don't grieve, you rejoice. You rejoice. So the joy of the Lord is the joy that God himself possesses. That's why it's called the joy of the Lord, right? The joy that belongs to the Lord. It's what he possesses. He reveals it to us through his word. And that tells us of his great salvation and the joy that it brings. And so we get our joy through the reading of the word, through the meditating of the word, through obeying it, as we're going to see in a bit. It's also, joy is also a part of the fruit of the Spirit, is it not? Matter of fact, I think it's mentioned second. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. So as we yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we make much of the Word of God, we're given an infusion of God's joy. Have you ever had an infusion in the hospital? Most people have, somewhere along the line. Matter of fact, in Indonesian, they call it an infuse. An infuse, that pit line or whatever they... What is that?
It's just an IV.
IV, yeah.
Put it in the chest. It's usually a pit line.
Yeah. Well, we don't care about all that stuff. We went into great detail about the pit line. Anyhow, it's an infuse. Well, they had an infusion here. They had an infusion. Did you notice that? It was an infusion of joy, God's joy. And it becomes a great strength to us, regardless of the circumstances we may be facing. Regardless of those circumstances. Nehemiah, he knew what it was to weep. It wasn't that he had never wept. He knew what it was. Look back in chapter 1, for example. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Just to remind ourselves a little bit of this. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it came to pass when I heard these words, Nehemiah said. Remember, Hanani and his colleagues had come from Jerusalem. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Again, in chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Well, so Nehemiah, he knew what it was like to weep. He knew what it was like to have sorrow. But because he gave such a prominent place to the Word of God in his life, and to prayer, by the way. The Word of God and prayer had a very prominent place in his life. He also experienced power that transformed sorrow into joy. Sorrow into joy. One reason believers don't experience the joy of the Lord is because they neglect the Word of God and the Spirit of God, which is its source. Neglect the Word of God. If you neglect the Word of God, you're more than likely going to neglect the Spirit of God. They kind of go together, don't they? Go together. Look at Jeremiah just a moment. Keep your finger in here. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. 15:16. Thy words were found, Nehemiah said, and I did eat them. I did eat them. He was told to. And thy word was unto me the what? Joy. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I wish there'd be people that are called by his name. So we should get our nourishment from the Word of God. Especially we get our joy from the Word of God. Secret of Christian joy is to believe what God says in his Word and act upon it. And faith that isn't based on the Word, you know, is not really faith at all. You know what it is? It's presumption. It's either presumption or superstition. Faith that's not based upon the Word of God. Joy that isn't the result of faith is not real joy at all. It's only a good feeling that will disappear pretty soon. Disappear mighty soon. And faith based on the Word will produce joy that will weather the storms of life. That's the whole message here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Have you known people who associated holiness with grief? Already answered that question. With sorrow? Seem to believe that the more solemn and sad your face is, the holier they must be. The Levites here took a different view. Since it's a holy day, they said, don't be grieved and don't be sorrowful, don't be mournful, but be what? Joyful. Be joyful. So, third thing we notice here, enjoyment of the people. They took their word for it. They actually obeyed. In verse 12, it says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Enjoyment of the people. The people took the exhortation and this encouragement of their leaders to heart and made this a joyful occasion. As a matter of fact, they were not just joyful, they were overjoyed. Did you notice the wording in that verse, verse 12? It wasn't just mirth. Mirth, you know, is joy. You know, happiness and joy and so on. They had what? Great mirth. They were overjoyed. They had great mirth. After all, the Lord had just given them the ability to complete the building of the wall, including all the gates, in 52 days. And this was New Year's Day. It was a time of rejoicing in Him. Rejoicing in Him. Another reason for the joy they expressed is that they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And these words, of course, according to verse 9, were the words of the law. They understood that. Well, secondly, not only did they rejoice in the Lord, they realized, Roman numeral 2, they realized their disobedience. They realized their disobedience in verses 13 through 15. And in verses 13 and 14, we see the cause of their realization. Why did they realize that? Verse 13, it says, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law, And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. They got that out of the Word. Got that from understanding the Word because of their realization. During that second day of expounding the Word of God, those who gathered to hear Ezra found that Moses had commanded the people to celebrate the Feast of Booths. So we know it in a more popular name as the Feast of Tabernacles. By gathering material to make these booths or shelters. Thus the feast is often called the Feast of Booths here. Not booze. It has nothing to do with alcohol or any of that kind of stuff. Booths. I know it's hard to say. I guess I could say booths. But anyhow, you'll remember that the Feast of Tabernacles celebrated the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness to Canaan after God had brought them out of Egypt. That was the whole reason for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a feast of remembrance when they came through the wilderness. It was also one of the three annual feasts, Pastor mentioned this morning, that were required to attend in Jerusalem along with the Passover and along with Pentecost. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And once again, they were made to realize that they had been disobedient to this command. How did they realize that? By having the Word of God expounded to them. Their ancestors no doubt knew of this command, but the twin hindrances to serving God, the lack of the joy of the Lord and disobedience, had stifled their service for Him. They do the same thing today, you know. The lack of the joy of the Lord and disobedience to God's commands, they stifle our service for the Lord today. When we obey the Lord and serve Him because we rejoice in Him, then our service will be a delight and not a drudgery. Not a drudgery. Matthew Henry, the old-timer commentator, he said, "Holy joy will be oil to the wheels of our obedience." Holy joy will be oil to the wheels of our obedience. To the believer without joy, the will of God is punishment. To the believer without joy, the will of God is punishment. But to the believer happy in the Lord, the will of God is nourishment. It's nourishment. Look at John chapter 4 just a moment. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Matter of fact, Job said what? He said, "I desire the word of God more than my necessary food." In John chapter 4, verse 34, the scripture says this, John chapter 4 and verse 34. "Jesus saith unto them, My meat." Now, you know that means food, right? Meat, not necessarily cow or pig or anything like that. Well, it certainly wasn't pig. But anyhow, it means food. He said, "My food, my meat is to do the will of Him." What's that? That's obedience. "Do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That's my food. So, the believer without joy, the will of God is punishment. But to the believer happy in the Lord, the will of God is nourishment. Be here, verse 15. The consequence of their realization. The cause of their realization is A, and then the consequence of their realization, verse 15. "And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written." Having realized their responsibility to keep the feast from hearing and heeding the word of God, they began to do something about it. They began obeying it. The Day of Atonement was celebrated on the 10th of the month, remember? The Feast of Trumpets was celebrated on the 1st of the month, and then all for about 7 days. And this first day of the Feast of Tabernacles would begin on the 15th of the month. Thus, these leaders had just a few days available for getting the word out to the Jews in the surrounding villages that everybody was going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. These people were not just hearers of the word, they were what? They were doers. Isn't that James, what James said we should be? Look at James chapter 1. I know you know that verse, but there's a couple after that too. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's in a mirror, you know, looking glass. Behold his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed of God? Be a doer of his word, not just a hearer. Not just a hearer. It would also take the people some time to gather the materials for building the booths from the mount. More than likely, the mount here was the Mount of Olives. It doesn't say that, but it probably was the Mount of Olives there near Jerusalem. Then Roman numeral 3, verses 16 to 18, they remedied the situation. They remedied the situation. Look at the proof of their obedience in the first part, in verse 16, first part of verse 17. So the people sat down and took their time and played cards. No, they went for it, didn't they? They went for it. Well, I shouldn't say cards. They played mahjong. I don't know how to make that culturally right. I'll just skip it. So the people went for it and brought them, made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts, in the courts of the house of God, in the street of the water gate, in the street of the gate of Ephraim. They put their booths up in all these different places. Someone has said the proof is in the doing. Proof is in the doing. And this is kind of proof of that. The people proved their willingness to obey by doing exactly as they were commanded in the word of God, to prepare for the celebration of the Feast of Booths. This is also called not only the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, it's also called the Feast of Harvest. Feast of Harvest, because it came at harvest time. And so during the 7 days of the feast, the Jews lived in booths made of branches, usually built on the flat roofs of their houses. I remember our second son Matthew, you know, he's the one in the church there in Florida. For some reason, he's really gotten into the Jewish thing, you know. I mean, it's good. He wants to minister to the Jews, but he decided he was going to celebrate the Feast of Booths there at his house when he came around, Feast of Tabernacles. So he went down to the store. He didn't go on the mountain. Hardly any mountains in Florida, actually. But anyhow, he went to a store and got some PVC pipe, all that kind of plastic stuff. And he built a frame. I don't know what kind of a thing it was. He was trying to tell me, but I couldn't picture it very well. Anyhow, he built that thing, just a little thing made out of PVC and curtains, some kind of sheets or something. And he went out in there and sat. I mean, he didn't sit there for 7 days, but he went out every day and just kind of sat in there and contemplated, read the scriptures about the tabernacle and all that. And I thought, that's weird. That's pretty weird. But anyhow, you got a feeling of what it was like to be in a booth, I guess, because they live in a house there in Florida, but he built it in his backyard. that garden. So anyhow, everybody, to each his own, I say, you know, if you want to build a booth in your garden, go ahead. So, but anyhow, they did that. But they did it in the keeping of God's word this time. So they lived in there, made out of branches, and usually built on the flat roofs of their houses, and not from PVC pipe. But those who had courtyards built their booths there, and the ones who had no room at their homes would put them up in some of the temple courts, or they put them up in the streets that led to the water gate, or the gate is called the Gate of Ephraim, those two gates. Remember all those 10 gates or so that are around Jerusalem. Dr. Warren Wiersbe gives the following insightful look into the meaning of the activities for this week. I stole it from him because he said it better than I could, so I stole it from him. He said this: it was a time for looking back and remembering the nation's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when the people were homeless and lived in temporary shelters. They lived in tents. They actually lived in tabernacles. But the feast was also a time for looking around, he said. Looking around at the harvest blessings. Remember, it's called the Feast of Harvest as well. Looking around at the harvest blessings from the hand of God. And the Lord had given them a good land, and they were never to forget the giver as they enjoyed his gifts. You know, that's a good point. They were never to forget the giver as they enjoyed his gift. You know, sometimes we get all joyful about the gifts, we forget all about the giver. We're supposed to find our joy in the Lord, in the giver, not in the gifts. Look at some verses over Deuteronomy chapter 8, just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 to 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Chapter 8 and verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee, notice this is, of course, when they were getting ready to go into that land, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a, what kind of a land was it going to be? A good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil, oil olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless all those gifts. Right? No. It says, when you've eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord. Bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. The Feast of Tabernacles, boy, that's looking backwards, that's looking around, but the Feast of Tabernacles was also an occasion for looking ahead to the glorious kingdom God promised his people, Israel. One more verse here. One more, well, I've got more than that. But anyhow, right now, let's look at Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. Just about the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. Remember when we went through Zechariah here a couple of years ago. Verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, by the way, this is during the day of the Lord, chapter 14, verse 1 tells us that. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. In verse 16, come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is going to be in the millennial kingdom as well. Looking backward, looking around, looking forward. B, last part of verse 17, the procrastination of God's people. Procrastination of God's people. After it says there in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17, all the congregation of them which came out of the captivity made booths, sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun. Now remember, there was a priest that came along with him. His name Joshua. But this is to distinguish from him. This was during the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun. That's Joshua. Remember, the one that took them into the land. Since that day and to that day had not the children of Israel done so. So, you say, well, you know, if you know Bible history, you know, well, that's not, you know. I mean, they've celebrated it since then. The meaning here is not that the Feast of Tabernacles had been completely ignored by the nation since the days of Joshua, because that wasn't so. The feast was celebrated in King Solomon's day. It's mentioned over in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 13. In fact, in our study of Ezra and Nehemiah, back in Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, we saw that those who had just arrived back from captivity under Zerubbabel had celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, what does it mean here? Well, it was not the fact of the celebration that was so special, but the way they celebrated it. The way they celebrated it. Apparently, before, there wasn't the full participation of the nation, as it was true here, especially with this attitude of what? J-O-Y. Joy. Did you notice the emphasis in the last part of that verse? And there was very great gladness. Did you break that down a little bit, those words? There was gladness, first of all. There was gladness. We understand that. It wasn't just gladness, though. There was great gladness. And there wasn't just great gladness. Did you notice? There was very great gladness. And I believe that was the difference between how they celebrated this one and how they had celebrated it before. It was the way. It was the way they celebrated it. Well, see, the prominence of God's Word. We're back to the God's Word again. Verse 18. Prominence of God's Word. Also, day by day. Day by day. That means every day. Day by day. From the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. According unto the manner. Well, Ezra continued this Bible conference. It sounds like a real Bible conference, doesn't it? He continued this during the entire week of the feast, day by day reading and explaining the Word of God. And the combination of joyful fellowship and feasting and hearing the Word of God must have strengthened the people greatly. Would have strengthened them. Then the week concluded with a solemn assembly, again, in accordance with the Word of God. It was the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Obeying the Word of God all the way through here. Look at Numbers 29:35. Numbers chapter 29 and verse 35. We were going through the book of Numbers a couple of years ago. We saw this as well. Numbers 29:35. On the eighth day, ye shall have a solemn assembly. This is after the Feast of Tabernacles. Ye shall do no servile work therein. So they did it according to the manner. That is, according to the way Moses had given it in the law. So what can we conclude from all these things? Well, what's the main emphasis? Joy, right? The second one is obedience. Obedience to the Word. Obedience. The people of the book, that's why they're called people of the book. People of the book should be rejoicing people. Should be rejoicing people. That doesn't mean you have to run around laughing all the time. We used to have a Bible college professor. He was a real gruff guy anyhow. And Dr. Noel Smith, and he used to say only an idiot has a smile all the time. Because they don't know what they're doing. So it's clear that But it's clear from Scripture that rejoicing people are obedient people, right? Rejoicing people are obedient people. Joy and obedience are probably different sides of the same coin. Different sides of the same coin. They're kind of like repentance and faith. Repentance and faith, kind of different sides of the same coin. And if we're obedient to the Word of God, you know what? It gives us joy in our hearts. Have you ever found that to be true? We're obedient. On the other hand, when we're disobedient, kind of the joy goes away. Isn't that what David said? Oh man, was he disobedient. And then he said, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." On the other hand, if we're consumed with the joy of the Lord, remember it's kind of two sides of the same coin. If we're consumed with the joy of the Lord, it's a great motivator to be obedient. So they kind of work together. And because of their humanness, the blessings of the celebration lasted for a time, but then the people became careless again. We're going to see that as we go through Nehemiah. And the leaders had to bring them back to the Word of God, time after time after time. You know, that's why we preach the Word of God every week. Keep going through the Word of God. Keep going through the Word of God. Because if we don't, we aren't reminded, we'll forget. Someone asked Evangelist Billy Sunday if revivals last. Revivals. He was a great one for having revivals. You know. They asked him if revivals last, and he replied, "No, they don't last." But he says, "Neither does a bath, but that doesn't stop us from taking." Pretty good answer. From time to time in church history, God's Spirit has burdened people to pray, burdened people to search the Scriptures and confess their sins. And from these sincere spiritual exercises, He has seen fit to bring fresh life to His people. I think that's more what a revival is, a revival. It happened in Nehemiah's day. You know what? It can happen in our day too. It can happen in our day too. 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people, called by my name. You know the rest of the verse. I do too, except I've forgotten it. But anyhow, it's all about the people bowing themselves, humbling themselves before the Lord, and He'll heal their land. Heal them and heal their land. So I trust that we'll take those two lessons from this portion of God's Word. Obedience and joy. They go together. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You again for Your Word.